Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Every once in a while, an event comes along that kind of brings it all together. Kind of gathers together in one place the like-minded, not always the like-minded, but maybe people who have one similarity, although their ideas may be different. All of them are bent upon the same purpose. There was an event recently called the Code Orange Revival, not the first time this thing has been held, that gathered together people who were, I think we can accurately say, bent upon the same purpose. Was it revival, true, genuine, biblical revival, or was it something else? It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about the Code Orange Revival, Pastor Chris Rosebro. He is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he's host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Why do you call this event the Heresy Olympics?
Well, several reasons. It doesn't happen very often. It only happens maybe every 4 years, kind of the Olympics. Last time the Code Orange Revival was held was back in 2012, and it literally is, an ongoing, almost two-week-long, event where night after night after night, the most notorious and high-profile Bible twisters, Narsagetes, and people who are just absolutely skilled at rhetoric and kind of holding an audience captive, not for the sake of preaching Christ and actually rightly handling God's word, but people who really are adept at scratching itching ears come and bring out their best, if you would. And it's so awful night after night that the first time that this occurred, I felt like I was watching a competition between these different teachers as to who could out-twist the scriptures more than the other, and that's where I came up with the idea of calling it the Heresy Olympics. And the first time it was contested, at the end of it on my program, we actually handed out gold and silver medals for different heretical categories.
Okay, so let's a few preliminary questions before we get into some examples of what you call there the Olympics of heresy. First of all, who are the who's who of this Code Orange Revival, and what is their definition of revival?
Great question. The who's who this time around, we have Stephen Furtick, we have Joyce Meyer, we have a gentleman by the name of John Gray, who is an associate pastor with Joel Osteen over at Lakewood. Craig Rochelle, you have Carl Lentz from Hillsong, and Christine Kane also from Hillsong. The list is quite illustrious. In the past time that it was Perry Noble and T.D. Jakes and Jensen Franklin, and so these are people that if you pay attention to Christian television, then you're going to know these people and you're going to know their names. As far as what they think revival is, they are not defining revival as people being regenerated through the preaching of law and gospel, through the proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins, and the call for people to repent and to be forgiven, trusting in Christ, calling on his name to be forgiven for their wickedness and sins. That's not what they're referring to when they talk about revival. Instead, revival for them is kind of more akin to getting through a dry period in your spiritual life or experiencing breakthrough in a difficult setback in your life, something to that effect. And last week when we talked about triumphalism. And this is like triumphalism on steroids. And if you're not sure what that is, I'm referring to what Luther called the theology of glory. We can call it the theology of self-glory. And the idea then is revival is convincing people to take steps or apply principles in order to experience victory in their life, and that somehow these steps and principles that they're supposed to apply are what God is trying to communicate to them so that they can once and for all get past the problem that they're currently experiencing in life.
How typical is what we're going to hear and what is often heard at the Code Orange Revival of what the average evangelical is going to hear in their church?
It's so typical that they will not even blink and think for a second there's anything wrong with what they're hearing. They're so used to this that this is part of the furniture, if you would, of American evangelicalism. It's a comfortable couch that they've sat on and slept on so many times they don't even realize that it's infested with bed bugs and diseases and things.
What are we going to hear first, Chris?
Well, we're going to first hear part of the pre-revival show. They actually were doing a very good job of creating anticipation. And I think it's important as we listen to this. We're going to hear a couple of people who are on staff there at Elevation Church in Charlotte, creating the expectation and saying what it is that they think God is going to be doing. And there's no mention of repentance and the forgiveness of sins, but what they say is quite interesting.
Most of the times you see Code Orange, it's used for some kind of an emergency situation. Usually it's like a high urgency situation, but there's one in particular, one definition in particular, and it has to do with volcanic activity.
I love it.
It talks about the timeliness of an eruption, and we thought, you know what, that's so perfect for Code Orange Revival. We're talking about an eruption of faith here for the next 10 days. You know, the church, we celebrated our 10-year anniversary earlier this year, and so 10 years of God's faithfulness. Now we're talking about 10 nights of celebrating and believing God for a breakthrough.
Incredible.
I hope that you're coming with a sense of anticipation and expectation. What are you looking forward to?
I just am so excited because we've been praying and preparing, and I'm believing that God's going to bring breakthrough for me personally.
Right.
But also for so many that are tuning in online and joining us, I just can't even imagine all that God's going to do. A few months ago, we celebrated our 10-year anniversary as a church, and now we're kicking off 10 nights of revival where we're believing that God's going to bring breakthrough in so many areas in our church and in individual lives. So thank you for joining us.
That's so true. Oftentimes, God just meets you at the point of your expectations. So if you come into something like revival without big expectations, well, you're really just missing out on an opportunity. Hey, welcome to Code Orange Revival. We got about 2 minutes, maybe less than that, before we get things underway here and start the actual experience. We're really excited.
Yeah.
And you know what? Code Orange Revival is about a breakthrough in your life. It's about coming into God's presence. It's about God doing something very specifically in your life. And yes, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of guests here. We're going to have we're going to be singing a lot of worship songs as we record the next worship album. But this is really about what God wants to do in your life and through you. Now, what are some ways that people can help and stay involved and participate?
Yeah, if you guys want to show up online, make sure you're using our hashtag CodeOrangeRevival to share what God is doing in your life. Post it on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. Make sure you're staying connected. If you want to stay connected by giving, you can do that online. But we just would love to hear the ways that this ministry is impacting your life, this Code Orange Revival. We're believing big things for your life, and we are about to get started.
A lot of emphasis there on expectations, trying to create expectations, but also an odd little thing they said there, Chris, that if you go into a revival with low expectations, well, you're missing out on an opportunity.
Yeah, no, I mean, and here's immediately somebody has to ask the question, where has God promised that he's going to show up and give somebody breakthrough because they've shown up at a highly orchestrated experience event and shown up with an expectation that God is going to do something. Therefore, he now is obligated to do something to help them experience breakthrough or whatever. This reminds me very badly of a big sales meeting, or maybe even an Amway event designed to help people you know, have their emotions pumped up so they can go out and try harder at working on their downline. There's something quite manipulative in all of this, but Scripture doesn't teach any of it.
I'm really intrigued by this word, and we've heard it not just now as we're talking about the Code Orange Revival. We've heard it from Andy Stanley. We've heard it from multiple other teachers as we've looked at Pop American Christianity in the series with you, Chris. That word breakthrough, what is the technical definition of that? And if someone's hearing that term from their pastor, what freight comes along with it?
Okay, breakthrough is it's kind of a junk drawer term, if you would. So if you're having problems in your marriage, you know, maybe your wife is not happy with you, maybe she's moved out and your marriage is on the fritz, breakthrough would be she decides that she's going to move back and reconcile and everything's going to be great. Breakthrough is I've got problems in my finances, I can't pay my bills, they're going to turn off the electricity, and out of the blue, somebody sends me a check for $1,000. That's breakthrough. So breakthrough pretty much is something that appears to be only explainable by God, that is a fix or an answer to prayer or some kind of a Hail Mary pass that lands in the end zone that helps alleviate a circumstance or a problem that you have.
And it's so it kind of functions as in the place of God's promises and Him fulfilling those promises by the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. It substitutes for the gospel, doesn't it?
Yeah, actually, it really is. It takes the promises of God and moves them from the eschaton into the present. And they talk this way. They'll say, "Listen, if the only thing that Jesus is good for is that we have salvation and we'll be with Him forever in heaven, then what good is that? We need a God who's capable and, you know, of solving our everyday problems and making our lives better in the here and the now." The problem is that Jesus Himself promises us persecution, He promises us suffering, and He tells us to deny ourselves, take up our crosses daily, and follow Him. And each and every one of us is not heading to victory after victory. Each and every one of us is actually heading to a grave. And Christ has not promised to save us from this present curse that we are under. He's promised to save us through it. And this, by making these promises of the temporal in the here and the now that they're making, couldn't be the more perfect setup for somebody becoming absolutely disillusioned, disheartened, and feeling deceived by Christianity, because the things that they're taught to expect from God are not the forgiveness of sins, but for Him to somehow alleviate problems and difficulties in their lives. And when those problems are not alleviated, the blame actually always goes on the person who's in the problem. Well, you didn't have enough faith. You didn't obey God. You didn't apply these principles correctly. You forgot this insight. The blame always goes squarely on them. And we'll see this as we listen to the sound bites. You know, always the thing that is needed for breakthrough is for you to obey. So at the end of the day, they're basically passing off some really lame version of God's law. It's not even biblical law. It's just law that they've made up.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about the Code Orange Revival. We'll hear more from it when we come back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us: broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which he won for us in his perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, Gethsemane-LCMS.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Lutherans talk a lot about doctrine, liturgy, and vocation. But as Martin Luther would say, what does this mean? In a book called Didache, Issues, etc., regular guest Professor John Pless brings together the Bible, the small catechism, and the hymnal to teach the faith. He shows how what we believe is expressed in our daily lives and in our worship. You can find Didache online at emmanuelpress.us.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about the Code Orange Revival, the 10-day event based at Stephen Furtick's church. What are we going to hear next, Chris?
All right. Next, we're going to hear one of the opening comments made by Stephen Furtick on night one of the Code Orange Revival, where he's claiming to be receiving direct revelation from God and what that direct revelation is going to mean for those who are at Code Orange Revival themselves.
And I want to read you my scripture text for my sermon. And the Lord has been speaking to me about our first night together. And I believe that what he wants to speak tonight will open the atmosphere for miracles, signs, and wonders to occur in your life, your family, your business, your church, your neighborhood. My mom tells me that when I was a little boy, she used to catch me in my room with a globe pretending to be a weatherman. And she said that that's all I wanted to be when I grew up was a weatherman. She said the only two things I really ever wanted to be when I grew up was to be a weatherman and a preacher. Well, tonight I get to be both. I get to tell you that the rain of God is about to fall on the dry places, the barren places in your life.
All right, the familiar voice of Stephen Furtick. What was he saying there, Chris?
Well, he is literally saying that God is speaking to him, and that because of the word that God is going to be speaking through him, that it's going to result in miracles, signs, and wonders happening in the lives of the people who showed up at the Code Orange Revival. In other words, since using the rain metaphor, he is, if you would, the miraculous rain maker that God has chosen, the very special instrument that God has chosen to open up the atmosphere and let miracles come pouring down on people so that they can experience breakthrough in their life. I mean, This is so arrogant. I don't even have words for this. I mean, literally, what he's claiming for himself in this direct revelation that he's claiming is it's so over the top. He's practically claiming that he is a little Messiah on earth, that he is anointed and has a special anointing from God to release miracles to the people who come to Code Orange.
And this is not unusual for Furtick, is it? I mean, he is famous for a Messiah complex that he kind of unashamedly promotes within his very devoted following there at Elevation.
Yeah, no, and it's absolutely stunning in its audacity is the best way I could put it. And the thing, he's a young guy. He's a gifted communicator. He's modeled his preaching style off of T.D. Jakes and has the chops down perfectly. But with a statement like this, I mean, he is literally putting himself on par with Jesus Christ himself. He's literally claiming to be a divine vessel, a special instrument in God's hands so these people can have breakthrough in their life. And by the way he delivers it, the scary thing is that he actually sounds like he believes what he's saying, which is even worse, which means this man is deceived and self-deceived in a way that is absolutely demonic and would put, Stephen Furtick into the category of people that Jesus warned us about in the Olivet Discourse when he warned about false prophets and false teachers and false Christs. I mean, that's literally what Stephen Furtick is.
And his people, I mean, they are equally famous for just, I don't even know how to put it, Chris, it is beyond the cult of personality there.
I mean, he practically is the deity incarnate who runs that place. And even in their, in that church's, formal documents on their website, they claim that they are united around the visionary and they will violently, if necessary, defend the vision that God has given to their visionary. I mean, I think we're dealing with a bona fide cult and a bona fide cult leader at this point, like of Jim Jones proportions. That's what we're dealing with Stephen Furtick.
Pastor Chris Rosebros, our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity on this Wednesday afternoon. When we come back, we're going to hear a little bit more from the Code Orange Revival and talk with Chris about it. He's host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado; St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri; Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri; Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana; Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee; and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about the Code Orange Revival. Pastor Chris Roseboro is our guest, pastor of Konstinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith, and he's also a graduate of Concordia University, Irvine, California, where you too can pursue an advanced theological study of academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia Master of Arts in Theology program. The courses are taught online, that's for your convenience, and an intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education, leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered there. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology, cui.edu/theology. What's the final thing we're going to hear from the Code Orange Revival here, Chris?
All right, so now we're going to get down to the thing that you need to do so that you can experience breakthrough. And Stephen Furtick is going to talk about the text that he was preaching on, which is Isaiah 55, and the steps now that are necessary for somebody to experience breakthrough. And if you were just even a little bit skeptical and not whipped up into an emotional frenzy, you're going to see this for what it is. This is, if he were a computer programmer, we would call this vaporware. I mean, that's how ridiculously, what a big letdown it is. But he tries to deliver it in an entertaining way, even so much so that he delivers the last part of it via a rap that he made up on the spot.
So I just wonder, tonight, what rhythm you find yourself in. I see in Isaiah chapter 55 a rhythm of revival. And I want to present it to you because it's very, very simple and very, very practical. And it produces results when you get in the rhythm. The first thing that he mentions is receiving. Would you write that down if you're taking notes? Just write down receive. And after you've had the opportunity to write it down, just say out loud, Lord, I receive your word to me. He says, as the rain falls from the heaven and waters the earth has a responsibility to receive the rain. And I don't wonder whether God will speak over the course of this revival. I wonder whether our hearts will be open to receive what he speaks. But I receive, respond, receive, respond. Get in the rhythm. Receive, respond, receive, respond, receive, respond, receive, respond. Every night of revival, I want you to go home and take one thing from the sermon and do it before the next day. Because if you come back and didn't do the last thing that God told you to do, it won't matter if you come back and get more notes for your notebook. Or highlight in your Bible with green, red, and orange. When you get to heaven, a highlighted Bible won't get you more jewels in your crown. I didn't work this out before I came, but you can understand that I'm trying to say we didn't just come to hear the Word of God. I want the Word of God to fall in my life and make...
Yeah, complete with the Hammond organ there. They never can leave out the Hammond organ for some reason. I don't know why that is, Chris. Okay, so where did he leave those his devoted followers with that little speech slash rap?
Basically, if you were to sum it up, the best way to sum it up is, well, it's all up to you. You want breakthrough? Well, you're going to have to receive whatever God is speaking to you, and he's not referring to the written word of God, whatever God's communicating to you in your heart, and then you've got to go and respond to it. It's all up to you. And, you know, since we understand law and gospel as Lutherans, this is kind of one of, you know, the things we really key in on, all he's done is give them law. It's up to you to receive. It's up to you to respond. It's up to you to do. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you. Basically, this is a very well disguised, in Christian garb and Christian language, just a motivational pep talk is basically what this is. There's no difference between what he's delivering there at the Code Orange Revival and what a coach, a football coach, tells his team at halftime when they're down by 10 points. This is designed to get you to muster up the fortitude, the self-will, the desire, so that you are going to now go and respond and do and apply, and it's all law. And the thing is that Isaiah 55 does not present a rhythm of revival that if we do its steps, it's going to produce results in our life. Stephen Furtick is the first man in all of Christian history to discover in Isaiah 55 the rhythm of revival, which should tell you that the thing doesn't even exist. He's made it up. And at the end of the day, he hasn't actually helped these people. All he's done is emotionally work them up so that they're going to leave the Code Orange Revival, and rather than give up on their resolutions, you know, 1 or 2 days after, like, New Year's, they're going to continue on with their resolutions for maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month, but then they're going to fall right back into all their old habits and routines. And the reason why is because none of the steps that he's given have any power whatsoever when it comes to mortifying our sinful flesh and the real reasons why we're having problems. He's selling them, you know, magic beans, but, you know, I mean, they won't turn into anything.
Now, I remember reading Rick Warren, this was probably about 5 years ago, a remarkable thing he said, where we got too much preaching in the church. And I thought, what does he mean by that? So I read it, and he said, well, I go to church, and then I'm supposed to take an application away from every sermon, and then, of course, I can't do all that, and then when I come back, I get another application. And his solution was, we need to have less preaching in the church because the pastors are giving their people too much to do. Of course, it wasn't preaching the gospel. It was just, he says, preach the law less often and a little slower so we can manage to carry out all of our assignments. He unwittingly identified a real problem here, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, absolutely. And the reality is this, even if you preach God's law at a glacial pace, no human being will be able to keep up. That's just the reality of the situation. And the reason for that is simple. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. In Adam, we have fallen, and there's been a corruption of our nature. And as a result of it, we, as fallen sinful beings, are not capable of pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps and keeping God's law. And as a result of what these men are ultimately doing is preaching self-righteousness, and they're not rightly distinguishing law and gospel. In 1 Timothy, it talks about the importance of preaching the law lawfully. This is not a lawful preaching of the law. The law lawfully preached is first and foremost going to literally nail you to the wall and point God's bony finger right in your chest and say, you are guilty, you are a sinner, you stand condemned before God. Romans chapter 3 says that through that kind of preaching, we are then silenced. You can think of it this way, God's law shuts us up so that we stand guilty and are held accountable before him, and only then, when somebody's been stripped of their self-righteousness and shown that they're a sinner, are they ready to hear the good news that God was incarnate of the Holy Spirit, of the Virgin Mary, and was made man and was crucified for our sins and is calling us to repent and to be forgiven. You see, the law and the gospel have to be preached together. And when they're unlawfully preaching the law, they preach the law in a way that diagnoses the problem, but then they preach the law and basically say, it's up to you. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and you need to make this happen. Get busy, and this will never work. You cannot create the fruit of the Spirit through this type of preaching.
Before we let you go, Chris, what's up tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
We're going to be doing a roundtable conversation with Stephen Kozar and Amy Spreeman as we discuss discerning discernment. It's kind of an interesting topic that we have today on deck.
Folks, you can listen to Fighting for the Faith immediately after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. at piratechristian.com. That's piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Rosebrough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we're going to get our weekly update on the November elections with Mark and Molly Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and The Federalist. We're going to be doing a very much anticipated program on a liberal approach to the Old Testament. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest, and we will review the new Tom Hanks movie, Sully, with Pastor Ted Giese. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues, Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.